Well, good morning. Good morning, church. Hasn't it just been incredible already today? If you are new here this morning, I just want to especially say welcome to you. It's so great getting to like look out and see everybody. For those of you who are joining us online, we love you. Just comment that you're with us, where you're watching from. We absolutely love our online church, those who get to join with us weekly online. And let's just give a shout out to our production team. They're the ones that make it possible. Yeah, thank you guys. You know, they get here early. They make it possible that we can have that piece of our church that is at home join in with us. So thank you. You know, this morning, I do want to say hello. My name is Mia, for those of you who I've not had the honor of meeting yet. I'm on staff here, and I get the opportunity from time to time just to come up here and share with you all. And a lot of the times when that happens, our pastor is away, but he is here with us today, Pastor Roy and Christina. So let's just give them a shout out. If everyone just wants to give them some love, it's absolutely wonderful to get to share and get graded in real time. If you were here last week, you know that we get graded now when we speak. So if you have comments, please keep them to yourself, because the peanut gallery right over there, he's the one who's going to give me a lot of encouragement and direction. But I'm so excited this morning. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you about Joshua from the Old Testament. Joshua is an incredible, incredible person and character to get to read about. And one day we're going to get to be in heaven and sit down and hear all the real things that happened. But, you know, this morning I want to remind you about this man, this incredible leader. He was born at the very end of the 400 years that the Israelite people were in captivity in Egypt. And so he was born in slavery, just like all of us. We're all born in sin. And, you know, he was born in slavery. And so he was born into an environment where his parents and all of his ancestors had been praying and believing for God to move and set them free. And he got to watch Moses be raised up, and he got to watch as God brought him and his people out of Egypt with incredible plagues and miracles and all of these things. But he was a real guy who was in slavery and became free. And that is not easy when all of a sudden you're uprooted, everything that you've ever known gets changed. And, you know, it's like we pray and we pray and we pray, and all of a sudden we get the answer to the prayer and we're like, oh, wow, now we have to learn how to live a little differently. And so he learned how to live a little differently in the wilderness. And we see in his life God do amazing thing after amazing thing after amazing thing. You know, he was part of the group that went right to the Red Sea. They're on their way to the promised land, and all of a sudden they see a big sea in front of them, and there is the enemy behind them. Pharaoh decided, no, I don't want to let my workforce leave, so he went out after them. And there's mountains on one side, it says in the Bible, and, you know, everywhere they looked was death. And so we see in this man's life the same thing that happens in our lives, and there are moments in our lives when death is all around us, and yet we see in his life that he got to experience the deliverance again of the Lord, where God asked him to do a ridiculous thing. Obedience is ridiculous. God, what do I do? Moses is calling out to God, God, what do I do? And so this young man, Joshua, watches his leader take a staff, a piece of wood, and hold it up over the water because God told him to. And I'm sure he thought, you're crazy. So if you're here and you think sometimes that what Pastor Roy is asking us to do is crazy, you might be in the right environment. But let me tell you that when Moses obeyed, Joshua got to witness and see, oh, God did something incredible. God parted the water. And so we see through the life of Joshua, and we see through just the history of the Israelites, that he experienced real things like we face every single day. And he experienced the emotions. And then, you know, he was one of the 12 that got to go into the promised land for the first time and scout it out. It's like, could you imagine being out of millions of people, one of 12 that gets to be invited to go and scout out and see how amazing it is? And the Bible says they went and they saw that it was good, and they came back and they had this incredible report, and they brought back like these grapes that were enormous. And they're like, this is so great. Him and Caleb were like, this is great. We're going to conquer. We're ready. They tasted the promise. They saw the promise. They were there. And then the 10 other ones went, ooh, that doesn't look easy. And they terrified the people. And so Joshua, who watched God do incredible things, he was born in slavery and he came out of slavery and he faced death. And then God brought them through the Red Sea, and he went out into the promised land, and he saw it, and he was ready to live in it. Had to live with the consequences of the other people with him. And for 40 years, he had to journey through the wilderness. Who here has journeyed for 40 years in a wilderness because of the consequences of other people? He understood disappointment. He understood fatigue. He understood grief. He watched every single person that came out of Egypt with him die. The Bible says that God needed to raise up a new generation that had faith. He and Caleb were the only ones documented. So for 40 years, he watched every person he grew up loving pass away. That's real. That's life. We all face this. And so we see in his life a journey that I want to share with you today. Because just like Joshua, I'm sure all of us have faced moments in our life when we are feeling all these complex emotions and all these complex things, and we're facing death, or we're facing freedom, and we're facing the promise, and then we have this grief and we have to wait. And so I want to look at his life today, because I believe in his life we can take pieces, apply them to our life and journey. And so today I've titled my message Journey Like Joshua, because like Joshua, we want to be successful. We want to be successful. But did you know that you can grieve successfully? That you can mourn successfully? You can be victorious unsuccessfully. But you can be victorious successfully. And God said to Joshua, you will be successful in everything that you do. What a promise. That's what I want. Mia, you will be successful in everything you do. Amen. I'll take that. You know what I mean? But sometimes we forget. We just want to look at the promises of God. We want to take this and open it up and look at every promise and just skip over our part. Because God is able. He is able. But he chose at the beginning of time to partner with us, and he will not usurp our will. And so we see in the word in Joshua 1:7, God says, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in all you do. There was a promise, but there was a part, there was a role, there was a journey that he had to choose to enter into. And so today I want us to learn how to journey like Joshua. Let's pray and get into the word. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity today that we get to open your word and we get to look at the life of this man who you called out to be a leader, who was successful. And we get to pull apart just the things that he did, the things that he learned, the way that you instructed him, so that we can learn how to journey well, how to be successful, how to be victorious in you. Jesus, I just pray that you would open our ears, that we would hear your word today. We would leave encouraged. We would leave changed. In Jesus' name, amen. In your notes, you're going to see the very first thing that God directed that I want to point out to Joshua was that he needed to stay in the word. We need to journey in the word. We need to read our Bible. And what I did not write is what I want you to write right now. We also need to obey the word. We need to do what it says. But to do what it says, we need to know what it says. And so we need to be in the word. Joshua 1 verse 8. So the next verse, the next sentence, God says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything that is written. Then you will be prosper and succeed in all that you do. Then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. I recently, on TikTok and Instagram, and you're going through these reels, and I've been seeing this study shared, and it was super interesting, but no one ever quoted what was the study. They were just quoting all these statistics. And I had the opportunity of being in just like an hour class online, and the gentleman is one of the directors for Logos, the app, which is like a Bible studying software. And so he actually started to talk about this study, and he actually, he directed us to where it was. And so I could actually sit down and read the summary, like the 21 page summary, and see what it said. And I think that these statistics are incredible, and I want to share them with you today. The original study was by the Center of Bible Engagement. It studied over 40,000 Americans in 2008. They were between the ages of 8 and 80. There were believers and non-believers. And what it found was that 93%, so just over 9 out of 10 people in America, have a Bible. That's great. That's fantastic, I think. It's one of the best pieces of literature you're ever going to find in the world. It's one of the most bought pieces of literature you're ever going to find. But what they also found was that just less than 40% actually read their Bible. And less than 40% read their Bible to a degree that actually makes an impact in their life. And I want to have a graph that I just want to have, if you could just put that up for us to see. So on here, you'll see that this is just for born-again believers. So like, if the majority of us in this room are going to say, you know, we would self-identify as born-again believers, they have a bunch. Again, if you want to go back, you can ask me, I can give you the information for it. But they studied believers, non-believers, they pulled them all together, they showed all of it. But this is for believers. And as you can see, based on the ages, tweens, teens, 18 to 24, and then 25 and older, the majority read their Bible at least once a week. And that sounds fantastic. Who here reads their Bible at least once a week? Okay, that's great. It's fantastic. But what they found through this study was that those who do not read their Bible or read their Bible 1 to 3 days a week have about the same difference, the same effect in their life. It is only when you're in the Word 4 or more times a week that they found all of these benefits of the Word. So if you're in the Word 1 day, 2 days, 3 days a week, listening or reading, it's great. But I want to explain to you that if you feel stagnant or if you're not seeing the power of God move in your life, so are the stats. The stats are saying that's true. And so when we look at it, less than half are actually living in a way that they would have any type of impact in their life. And I want you to understand that when we're looking at stats, and there are lots of different groups and organizations that look at this, they're saying the stats of the world, unbelieving people and believing people, is about the same. When you're looking at divorce rates, when you're looking at addiction, when you're looking at addictions to alcohol, to pornography, to drugs, when you're looking at people that are just struggling in life, they're about the same. And that is not what Jesus died for. He died for us to live in power. And now that does not mean that we're not going to face obstacles in life. The Bible promises that we will. And so I don't want you to leave getting this half gospel. Your life is going to encounter bombs. But we can have power. But the power comes from reading the Word. There is power in the Word. And, you know, if you want to just pull up the next slide. For people that read their Bible 4 or more days a week, it shows that struggling with alcohol decreases by 57%. Sex outside of marriage decreases by 68%. People who struggle with pornography, it lowers by 61%. Gambling goes down 74%. These stats are for Bible-believing Christians. These are for people who self-declare, "I believe in the Lord." But the majority only read the Bible 1 to 3 days a week, which is fantastic, but they don't see these odds. They struggle the exact same as those who do not open their Word ever. That is incredible to me, because I'm just like, I'm a parent and I'm like, Titus, just read your Bible once a week. You know, we're going to check off, you know, once a week, read the Bible. Let's sit down together once a week. We're going to sit down. You know, we want to be reasonable. We want to slowly increase. I'm like, throw that to the wind. Dude, you got to be in your Word every day, every single day. And, you know, when I was growing up, I remember asking someone in authority over me, a leader over me. I was like maybe 10 or 12. And I said, do I need to read my Bible every day? And they said, no. We don't want to be legalistic. I don't want you to have a check mark. Oh, okay, I did it. That means I'm a good Christian. I follow Jesus. I'm a good Christian. So I understand now what they meant. And what they meant was, no, you're still going to heaven if you don't read your Bible today. But what that put in me was this doubt of, I can know God. I don't have to be in the Word. And so I want to tell you today, you know, we're learning in the Freedom Course. We want to live in the tree of life, not in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's no shame on you if you didn't open your Bible today, but you're lacking power. You're lacking power. And I don't want you to leave here today with shame on you. And I don't want you to leave here today going, oh my goodness, I didn't get into it today. I didn't read it. I didn't hear it. It's all my fault. I want you to not read the Bible to get, you know, trivia right. The purpose was never that we would just know the word. It was that it would transform our lives. It's that we would obey the word. And in the obedience of the word, because we know the word, we can walk in power. Another incredible thing that they found with this study was for people that read their Bible or listen to their Bible 4 or more times a week, sharing their faith with others increased by 228%. Discipling others increased by 231%, and memorizing scripture went up to 407%. Do we want to see a revival in this town, in this land? Then we need to be in the word. We need to be in the word. And parents, I want to tell you, I read these stats and it just blew me away, because I'm like, this is encouraging to me. For tweens and teens who are in the word 4 or more times a week, they had a decrease in smoking by 82%. They had a decrease in underage drinking by 80%. And they looked at risk behaviors. And overall, that decreased by 69%. Do you want your teen and your child to be successful? Get them in the word of God. Saturate them in the word of God. That is where the power is. I'm telling you. Get it into them. Again, Joshua 1 verse 8 says, study this book continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Not being in the word of God leaves us ignorant to what the Bible says. It leaves us vulnerable to teachings that are not correct. There are so many times in the Bible that it says, remember, remember, remember. Because as people, we are forgetful. How many conversations in this last week have I had with my husband that I'm just like, no, you said, and he's like, that's not what I said. We are forgetful. Our lives are busy. If you're not in the word of God, the enemy can come at you the same way he came at Jesus and use that word, twist it, and try and tempt you. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. And I'm telling you, I am the same. The enemy wants to trip you up. What did Jesus do? He took the same word, but he used it appropriately as a weapon, and he was able to defeat the enemy. He was successful. He was victorious. If you do not know the word, the world is going to come and tell you something different. It will. And so if these statistics are correct, the majority of us in here are not consuming the word enough for it to dramatically impact our lives. And I want your life to be dramatically impacted with the gospel, because Jesus died for you to walk in freedom. Matthew 4, Jesus says, the word is the bread of life. People leave Sundays, and I mean, it is a good time. And they're like, it charges me for the week. If that's the only time you're eating, it probably does. Go on a fast, go on a hunger fast, go on a liquid fast, go on a water fast. Your body is going to starve. We don't want our spirits to starve. We were dead in sin, and then we were raised to life eternally with Jesus. So yes, in eternity, you will be in eternity with God. But on earth, when we start to starve our spirit, it gets quiet. If your spirit is quiet today, that is a dangerous place. And I pray that during this service, it would waken up and it would start to scream at you how hungry it is. Because how else do we journey through life and run the race put before us if we are not full of nutrients? We want to be full of the word. The Bible says it is a defensive weapon. It molds us. It shapes us. It gives us hope. Who needs hope? This world is just going to hell. What the Bible says, but Jesus is the hope of the world. We need hope. We need to be able to distribute hope. When life punches me in the gut, I want hope to come out. I want encouragement to come out. Where does that come from? It comes from me being continually filled with the word. It says that it guides us. It is spiritual food. It is sustenance. It is eternal. It corrects us. It equips us. It cleanses us and sanctifies us. We need to be in the word. And it seems so simple, but the stats say that we're not doing it. Not enough of us are doing it. And it's not a heavy thing. It should be an encouragement. If you're like, listen, I struggle with addiction, get in the word. I struggle with destructive thoughts, get in the word. Mental health is an issue. It's a real issue. It's a hot topic because it's a problem. They found that believers struggled about 30%. And when they got into the word, it decreased to between 10 and 20. Get into the word. Let it cleanse your mind. Let it purify your thoughts. We need to be in the word. You know, and the reasons why I have struggled with this, the reasons that people gave when they did this study, are real. And again, we don't have to walk in shame to be like, oh my gosh, you know, I wasn't that, you know, and all these things, this is all my fault. And yeah, okay. We want to be encouraged and empowered. But the real reasons that people gave was they didn't prioritize it. So it's like, oh, you know, tomorrow, oh yeah, Mia said, it's really good, I should be in the word. And then we just didn't prioritize it. Now it's Wednesday. And we're like, oh geez, maybe tomorrow will be a better day. We need to prioritize it. But the reality is life is busy. And if we don't prioritize and do things that we want to do right away, it will just fall away. That's life. That's what happens. People don't recognize the importance of it. I hope when you leave here today, you recognize the importance of being in the word, or I did not do my job well. Then I can get enough. They didn't feel like it. They didn't feel like they needed it because they were saved. The number of people that this study looked at who have been who are believers for over 20 years that don't get into the word, the majority of them said because they didn't feel like they needed it. They already know it. That's terrifying to me. If you are a member of Harvest Christian Fellowship, I don't care if you're a day old or 50 years old in Christ. That is a scary place to be, to think that you don't need something fresh from the Lord today. You need to be in the word. You need to be in the word. And the reality is we do. We're just like, oh, I'm busy. And you know what? I'm good. You know, that worship song, like I'm good. I'm here. I heard the word on Sunday. It'll sustain me. But for anyone who has done a fast, you are hungry, but eventually you stop feeling hungry. And again, our spirit will just get quiet. And if your spirit is quiet today, speak to your soul and tell it, wake up. In the name of Jesus, wake up. Let's get hungry. Let's get thirsty for the word. Let's get into the word. A majority of people also said they just didn't know where to begin, and that's completely legit. They didn't know where to begin. If you don't have a physical Bible, do not leave here today without one. We have hundreds of them for people to have. If you have a cell phone today, and you do not have an app on your phone that has the Bible, download it. There are apps, there's reading guides, there's devotionals. You can put in, like I have YouVersion. I can put in faith. I'm struggling with faith. It'll bring stuff up. I'm struggling with addiction. I have an issue with my marriage. My parenting is a little bit shoddy these days. I need some help. The word of God will direct you in everything. It is the answer. It is the answer. And I know that sounds extreme. I remember a friend just being like, Jesus is the answer of the world. And I was like, whoa, I think so too, but you're intense. Whoa. And it's like, yes, he had a revelation. Jesus is the answer of the world, and his word has power. We need to get into the word. We need to walk like Joshua. We need to journey like Joshua. We need to be in the word, and we need to obey the word. The next thing that we need to do is we need to journey in his presence. And worship this morning was incredible. It was incredible. Being in the presence of God corporately is incredible. It changes us. But we need to be in his presence daily. We need to be in it daily. Did you know you're here? Because God wants a relationship with you. He created the world, everything in it, to have relationship with us, for us to be in his presence, that he could just adore us and love on us and be with us. The word says that he is in the praises of his people. That's where his presence is. We need to get into worship. If today is good, you know, we sing songs and it's like, God, it's like I see you face to face. Yes, because the veil becomes thin. He is in the praises of his people. If you need a touch from heaven, get into worship. We live in a day and age, again, with technology that is incredible. We get to be and have access to every type and every genre of worship. Ted was showing me like a death metal, like our God is an awesome God last night. I'm like, ooh, like it just, like I'm not into that style of music. But if you are, let me tell you, this was a phenomenal song. And we sat and listened, and once my ears kind of got used to like the ooh, 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 like of it, it's just not me. It's not how I was created. But I was like, this is beautiful. These people, like they are worshiping. They have a revelation that God is awesome and they are going to worship him because he is worthy. It doesn't matter what type of genre of music you like. Do you like country? So not him. There is worship that you can get on your phone that will bring you into the presence of God. In Exodus 33, it says, it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up at some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting just outside the camp. Whenever Moses went to the tent of meeting, all of the people would get up and they would stand in the entrance of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went to the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover over the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. After Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua of Nun, would remain in the tent of meeting. Before Joshua ever led anyone into the presence of God, he was in the presence of God. And we are called as Christians, as Christ followers, to represent God. Every single one of us. It's not just my job. It's not just the worship team's job. It's not just Pastor Roy's job. Every single one of us carry that commission on us to bring people into the presence of God. And you might think, I'm not worthy and I'm not able and my life is messed up. Absolutely, and so is everyone in the world. But Jesus is able. And the only way you are able is by being in the Word and being in his presence. The reason why worship is so incredible is because every single person on this team is in the presence of God in the week, not just Sunday morning. They're not just doing a practice or a concert for you. They are entering into the presence of God. And that means you can enter into the presence of God. The final thing I want to talk to you about today is that we need to stay in community. We need to stay in community. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's like this Mia-ism that people are like, oh, she says it all the time. You need to insulate your life. Don't isolate your life. Because when the bombs of life go off, our instinct is to isolate. But if there's a bomb going off in your life or not, and everything is going peachy, you still need to insulate your life. You need people around you that will encourage you in the Lord. And I want to bring you back to with Joshua when he and 11 other people, leaders of Israel, leaders of the community of God, went out into the promised land. And 10 of them came back and went, there is no way, we will die. You don't want one of those people around you when a bomb goes off. We'll party with them in heaven. Don't process them with your journey. Because when the Lord says, go into the land that I have given you, scout it out, see that it is good. Joshua and Caleb went into the land. They saw it. They were realists. They weren't going like, oh, it's going to be so easy. They saw the people who looked like giants. They saw the fortified cities. They were not in denial. You don't need someone beside you in your life that's in denial. You need someone that's going to say, yeah, that diagnosis sucks, but my word says that he is a healer. And so until you go home to be with the Lord, we're going to believe for God to heal you. Your marriage is a disaster. Absolutely it is. That hurts. For sure it hurts. But my God says that in him, we can be victorious in forgiving. We can be victorious in restoration of relationships. We can go with our friends, just like, you know, in the Bible, and people that went to Jesus and said, my child is dying. That's real. And what happened, we read in one of the stories that someone close to them came and said, they're already dead, don't worry, just leave it. I don't want that person with me. I don't want that person with me. I want Caleb with me to say, you think we can do it? God said we can do it. Let's do it. Let's take Jericho. Let's take these valleys. Let's inhabit these things. You need to insulate your life. It doesn't mean that you don't have any friends at all, but who you journey with, who you process deep things with. Go to Nordic Spa with whoever you want. But when your marriage gets rocky, you better call someone who knows the word. You better call somebody who just in their presence can just remind you of the faithfulness of God. So that when your life is blown up and you're in the sphere where that bomb went off and everything is cloudy and you're going, what on earth do I do? And you're thrown because of the blast, because that's what happens if you're within the radius. It's not like I believe in Jesus and therefore I'm never going to be knocked over. But they're there beside you and saying, let's get up. And throughout the Bible, it reminds us, you know, of the importance of having community. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and can conquer. Three is even better. We need to journey like Joshua. We need to be in the word. We need to obey the word. We need to worship. We need to insulate our lives. We need to stay in community. Because bombs are going to go off in your life. And when they go off and your ears are ringing and there's dust everywhere, you need someone to be able to pick you up. And just this last summer, like I'm not immune to anything. God has taught me this throughout my life. But in this summer, you know, a bomb went off. Sometimes there's little bombs and you like don't even get shaken, right? Like you're just like, oh, okay, we'll deal with that. But a bomb went off and in my mind, I was just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I know the word of God. God, I know that on the other side, it's good. How do I get there? Because I was knocked over. And there's no shame in that. If something explodes in your life and you get thrown by the blast and you're on the ground, a big bomb went off near you. That's okay. But I caught myself just going, what am I going to do? And I was spiraling. And you all know I can talk fast. Can you imagine how fast I pray in my head? And I'm asking God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it's like, I didn't give him a second to breathe, you know, like I didn't, like it was just like it just kept going. And I finally wore myself out, just like my little four-year-old does sometimes. He has stamina. Like he gets mad about something and he can cry. Like last week, his brother didn't want to race with him around the long way to get home from the bus. He cried for an hour. And like, not like, like he was like, for an hour. Can you imagine? So great. And I was just like, I was looking at him and I just kept doing what I was doing and I kept checking in on him. And I'm like, that was me in the summer. In my spirit, I was just like, bah! And I have stamina to just go and go and go. And God in his goodness just waited. Probably chuckling at me the same way I was chuckling at Asher. And when I finally took a breath and listened for the answer. See, God's not going to yell over you to have you hear the answer. Just going to wait for you to stop and listen. And I know these things. But because a bomb went off, my ears were ringing. And because a bomb went off, it was shaky. And that's okay. God's not worried about that. But I took a breath. And I, you know, 2 seconds. And God went, you know what to do. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know what to do. You've been doing it since you were a young girl. You're doing it now. And a peace came over me and a joy came over me. I cannot explain it. It was supernatural. And I was like, oh my gosh, I do know what to do. I need to stay in the word. I need to stay in his presence and I need to stay in community. I need to process this well with people who are going to remind me of the faithfulness of God. And when bombs go off in your life, you need to go on a brat diet. or a liquid diet. If you go in for surgery, if you get sick, things change, right? But we don't stop being in the Word. We don't stop being in His presence. We don't stop being in community. We just fine tune it. And what I have found in my life is that probably the worst seasons of my life that I would look back and say I would not wish that on anyone are the deepest seasons I've ever had in the Lord. I have one Bible, the spine came right off of it. Jesus says, it is the bread of life. It is the breath of life. I could not move or breathe or look at anything in my life. There was a season where there was a bomb that went off, and it was probably about 5-6 months where I went through like denial, shock. I couldn't function in my real life, and I just lived in the Word. I lived in the Word. This is not just a compilation of stories. When Ted texts me, I read it right away. This is his text message to you. This has everything you need to know about life. I hear parents go, I wish that there was a textbook. There is one. People who are struggling with life, I wish there was a textbook. There is one. There is someone who came to earth, died for your sins, rose again, went to the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit, and gave you His word so that you can face everything in life. Do not let the enemy convince you that you have eternal life. You don't need it. Yes, you do. You have eternal life. You don't need to be in His presence. Yes, you do. You have eternal life. You don't, it doesn't matter who you talk with. It matters. And so this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you have not invited Jesus into your life to journey like Joshua, the first thing you got to do is get in a relationship with God. And so I just want to invite all of you just to close your eyes, bow your head, and just have a moment with Jesus. If you are here today and you have never invited Jesus into your life, I'm going to pray in a moment. And on the back of your notes, there's a spot that you can check off and say, I've never done this before, or I haven't done it in a long time. And put your information on it. Give it to one of the hosts. We have a Bible for you. We have a devotional to get you started in the Word. We want to know because we want to journey with you. And so I'm going to invite everybody to pray and repeat after me so that if this is your first time, you don't feel like you're alone, because we are a community. But I also want to finish and pray for you this morning that if you're not journeying by nourishing yourself enough, you don't need to leave with shame. You don't need to leave with another checkbox saying, oh, this is something else I need to do. I want you to leave encouraged knowing that you actually have access to the power that you need in your life. So you can all just repeat after me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for forgiving me, for living my life my own way. I ask you now to lead my life, to forgive me of my sin, and be with me through every bomb that I will face in life. Jesus, I give my life to you. Amen. And Father, I just pray right now for everyone in this room that God, they would leave this place with a hunger inside of them, just a starving hunger inside of them to be in your word, to understand your word, to obey your word, to be in your presence, to be in community. That, Father, that their lives would be empowered to walk in the victory and the success that you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all positions, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest. Your name is
you can actually grab a seat. We're just going to share with you some important announcements before we wrap up today. As always, our ways to give are on the screen. We just want to thank you for your generosity, your tithing, and your giving. And we're just going to turn our attention to the screen for a video.
Hey there, welcome to Harvest. If you're new to the family or you're new to following Jesus, we are inviting you to Step One. Step One is a session that will inform you and inspire you. You'll learn about our history as a church, where we've been, and our vision, where we're going. You'll understand why we do the things we do and how you can be a part of it too. To register for Step One, simply go to hcfcornwall.ca/step1. Or if you're in the room, chat with one of our hosts after the service. We can't wait to serve you, get to know you, and help you thrive on your journey.
Baptized because I want to identify with Christ in every aspect of my life.
You are going to touch so many people, not by like, yes, your personality is phenomenal, but by all those things that you brought from your past, you're going to bring people into their future because you are a deliverer of the word, of the true word, of the true Jesus, of the real God that we serve and the heavenly Father that loves us.
And I, for once and for a long time, I'm looking forward to the future.
Ready for Christmas? Hello. This is my mic. Oh, thanks. Who's actually like, is anybody excited for Christmas yet? Or everyone's like, oh, okay. Okay, who remembers Little Drummer Boy last year?
Oh, yeah.
So we are preparing again. So if you want to be part of making this production happen, maybe you want to help with acting, maybe you want to help with behind the scenes stuff. There is an enormous amount of work and preparation that goes into these things. So if you're interested in helping with anything, come on Wednesday at 7 o'clock and just hear what we're going to do. Even just come to hear about it. Pray with us about it, that it is an incredible time again this Christmas. We are very excited. Thank you so much for being here for Name Tag Sunday. We love to just know your name and connect with you. And that is all for today. Enjoy your word this week. Thank you, Mia, for an amazing message. We love you, Harvest. See you next week.